Hallelujah. The title today is what it's been the last few times we've been together. Change your mind. God wants us to have his mind. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And God has manifestation for us. But we'll never get there. Look at me for a minute. We'll never get there if we stay in our sense realm. We will never get to the manifestation of what God is trying to bless us with if we stay in our sense realm. What's our sense realm? Our five senses. Is see, feel, touch, taste, smell, our five senses. And feel is our thinking. And God has so much for us by his Spirit if we'll get over to revelation realm. We said in the beginning of the year, we've been decreeing revelation and favor every day over our family, over our church, over you. Hallelujah. Revelation. Revelation lifts the veil. And we see clearly, hear clearly from the Spirit of God. And favor surrounds us as a shield, the Bible says. It's with us at all times. But we need to decree it and come out of our sense realm. If we live in our thinking realm, we'll never get there. Remember the story in the Bible when the Lord told them to go in and possess the land, and their sense realm told them, they came back and they said, there's giants in the land. That was their sense realm. But what did God say? He said, go in and take over the territory that I gave to you to possess. There's territory to be possessed. There's places God wants us to get to. And we're headed there if we stay out of our sense realm. That sense realm, our thinking realm, our feeling realm, our emotional realm is like a ball and chain, dragging it along, trying to get somewhere. Well, we can snip, snip, cut the chain today in our walk with God. He said, go in and, he knew there was giants. He said, go in and take the land. I've given it to you. He said, go over and take over Jericho. He said something so illogical. He said, walk around the city. You know the story. Stay out of your sense realm. Don't look at how big the walls are. Glory to God. We're facing things. All of us are. Every one of us has walls in front of us and giants that we need to drive out, chop the head off, dispossess. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
We've never lived here before. It's never been like this before. And it isn't getting better in the natural realm. That's why we have to get clearer, more concise, more honed in to the Spirit, walk in revelation, because out here it's crazy. But in here where the Spirit of God is, we can live in that realm of the Holy Ghost and revelation and hear clearly from God when there's all this stuff going on the outside. Can you say amen? That's why I'm teaching on this so many times. I'm teaching it, I'm living it. If you're not living something, you shouldn't be teaching it. You can take that or leave that. That's just my thinking on it. And let me tell you something. If you're going to teach something or preach something or live something, you're going to be tested on it.
Amen.
Amen? Jesus was the teacher and Satan was the tester. And so I'm not standing up here exempt from what I'm teaching you. I'm not standing up here saying that I'm not going through it myself. I am. Every one of us is bombarded. And there's a devil loose. But we're going to talk more about God than him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it's not time. You know, I had this little thing written on my desk. Do we want an answer or do we want an excuse? I'm here to present the answer today. Here's the answer right here in the Word. We can make an excuse for how we are. Or we can say, God, change me. I don't want to be this way. And get over out of the realm where our senses govern us, where everything we do, everything we decide, everything that takes place, we react in our sense realm. We react in our emotional realm. We react in our natural realm. We can come out of there. We can live free of there. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We're not a human having a spirit experience. We're not just a human being. We're a spirit being. We're a spirit being. We came from heaven. We are God's idea. We are a spirit being having a momentary human experience. This is not where we're going to stay. This is not where we're going to live for eternity. Heaven is eternal. This is just a passing through place. But while passing through, why not dispossess nations, drive out giants, take over territories, have control over situations in Jesus' name? Come on, say amen. Look at your neighbor and say, why not? In 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there. You can if you want to. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, therefore, lest anyone who thinks he stands and who feels sure that he has a steadfast mind and is standing firm, take heed lest he fall. So what does that tell us? That tells us that at any moment, at any time, none of us is perfect, and any one of us can fall, come out of the realm of the spirit, come out of the realm of revelation, and go back over into the realm of the soul. It's a warning. The renewing of our mind is a process. It's not an event. It's not a one-time thing. We come to Christ, we pray that prayer, we ask Jesus into our heart, we become born again. There starts the process. And the Bible says we have to renew our mind how often? Daily. And how do we do it? With the Word of God. It's a process. It's not an event. It's not a one-time thing. We don't come to Christ and get saved and then walk out of that meeting or that place wherever we received Him as Lord and Savior and be changed in our soulish realm. We are changed as a spirit being. But then we have to get our flesh in subjection and under control of the Spirit. And that's where our walk of faith comes in. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation, I'll just read it to you, says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. How do we change the way we think? By the renewing of our minds. How? With the Word of God. I can't lay my hands on you and change you. There is the doctrine of the laying on of hands for healing, for deliverance, for impartation of the anointing. But I cannot, nor can anyone, lay hands on someone else and change them. We have to change ourselves with the help of the Holy Spirit, and God is there to enforce that. Can you say amen? It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I didn't write this. This is the Word of God. It's a living truth. It's a living word. It's a now word. It's good for every day. Hallelujah. Then you will know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. God doesn't want us to be a cookie cutter copy of this world. He wants us to be different, and He wants us to walk a life of holiness. When you look the word up, holy, in the Hebrew, and when you see it in the Greek, it means to be different. It means to be other, not a cookie cutter, not pressed by the political realm, not pressed by the religious realm, not pressed by styles, but giving God glory, acting, looking, living like Him. Transformed. And the only way to change our life is to change our thinking. Not just little improvements, light improvements. God wants us to be different people. He wants us to be peculiar. He wants us to be other. He wants us to be holy. He doesn't want us to think like the world is thinking. And let me just tell you something this morning, in case you haven't noticed, there's a big press on. There's pressure. Ask Anis about pressure on her job someday. Pressure from all kinds of agendas. Pressure from political agendas. Pressure from demonic agendas. Pressure from the physical arena. Pressure from the thinking of this ungodly world. The Bible says that Satan is the god, small g, the evil genius of this present age. And the church is being pressed to get thinking like the world thinks, or say, well, that's really okay. What difference does it make? It's not hurting anybody. Yes, it's hurting a lot of people if it's not lined up with the Word of God. We have to remain dauntless. We have to remain strong. We have to remain on the word, not in judgment, but living a life with a changed, transformed mind, not allowing the enemy or the pressure of this world to press us to begin to think like the world thinks. That's the frog in the water. All these things going on, little by little, little subtleties on television and movies and things that we hear and things that we see, and everything's okay and there is no more sin and everybody's all right and everybody's accepted. Yes, everybody's loved by God, but this is the absolute truth. It says what we can do, what we can't do, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Not little light improvements, but truly different people. And I want you to ask yourself this question this morning. What am I thinking? Just close your eyes right here for a minute right now. Close your eyes and shut everybody else out. And just ask the Lord that. What am I thinking? What's going on in my mind most of the time? Can't blame our neighbor. Can't blame our spouse. Can't blame our friends. Can't blame the world. Can't blame anything. We have to recognize and see that a godless thought life is a godless life. And say, Lord, help me. Let's just ask him, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to see the truth, to walk in the truth, to love the truth, to live in the truth of God's word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Open up your eyes and let's just look at the word together this morning. Praise God. Jesus was the manifestation of his thought life. Everything that we see Jesus do came out of what Jesus thought. He didn't allow himself to think about what he saw, what he heard, what he felt. He had one thing in his mind and coming out of his mouth. And what was it? It was word. And I said earlier, this is what I heard in my spirit. It is manifestation time. It's manifestation time in the spirit realm. Jesus was the manifestation of the word of God on the earth. He was the word of God, but he had to guard and keep his mind on the word of God. Can you say amen? Minds on the word produce word manifestation. That's why it says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, what a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's why the enemy so tries to get us to think on the wrong things. That's why there's such a constant bombardment. If you're alive, your mind is constantly bombarded nonstop. If you're breathing, your mind is under attack. Your mind is in the middle of warfare on any given moment of any day. That's why the Word of God says, what a man or woman thinks in his heart, they become. And that's why the enemy is over here trying to get us to think this, that, and the other thing. Why? So we become that. He doesn't want us to become the manifestation on the earth that God is trying to get us to be. Hallelujah. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And we're seeking him for some things. We're believing him for some things. We're expecting some things. We're praying for some things. We're holding out in faith for some things. And the enemy wants to get our mind all wrapped around to something else so that we give birth to something else other than the manifestation of what God has given to us, of what God has promised us, of what God has said in his word about us, about our situation, about our family, about our finances, about our physical body. The enemy does not want us to get on that word, because that word becomes the manifestation of what we're believing for. Come on, somebody shout to God. Hallelujah. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. This isn't just for pancake Christians. We're serious. We got to be serious about our walk with God. You never see a soldier going into warfare unprepared. We need to be prepared. Our mind needs to be ready, set, go. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you're having some weird symptoms in your body, just stand to your feet. Stand up right where you are if you're battling weird symptoms in your body right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we give you praise right now and we thank you that we are the healed of the Lord, and we say so. And we decree and declare our right as children of God for the word manifestation to take place in the lives of these people that are standing and those that are listening right now. We thank you that we are the healed of the Lord, and we say so from our head to our feet. We decree it, we declare it, we take it. We bind the enemy in any operation and form and maneuver he may try to come against physical bodies with. And we believe that we receive what you paid for in Jesus' name. We tell every symptom to go and bow your knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Pain in the body, headaches, ears, eyes, nose infections, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, right now from head to toe that we are healed in your name and in your presence. And we give you praise for it. Come on, let's just thank God right now for that. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says this, "But now I am fearful, lest that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, so your minds may be corrupted and seduced from wholehearted and sincere and pure devotion to Christ." What is warring against our mind? It says over in the King James, "I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." What's warring against your mind? I know what's warring against my mind. Our mind is in warfare, church. And it's not a joke. And it's not an imagination. It's not your imagination. You're in warfare. Your mind is in warfare all the time, when you're awake and even sometimes when you're asleep. So whatever's warring against our mind this morning, I love how Kenneth Hagin says, we can't prevent birds from flying around our head, but we can prevent them from making a nest. So whatever's flying around our head, whatever is warring against our mind, we can prevent it from making a nest by decreeing the word of God, by casting it down. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you want to look there with me, Romans 7:23. I'm taking my time with this today because I believe in what I'm saying. And I believe we need what's being said as we see the day of the Lord approaching, how things are heating up and so evil in the world. It says, "I see another law," Romans 7:23, "in my members, warring," say warring, warring. Say it again, warring, "against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." What is he saying here? There's war against our mind. What are we going to do? We're going to war back. We're going to stand up. We're going to stand strong. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty how? Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds." The enemy is trying to set up a stronghold, and we need to hold strong and war back. We need to hold strong on the word, saying, decreeing, declaring, believing, expecting, hoping, trusting, covering ourselves in the blood, staying in prayer, staying in the love walk, out of offense, out of contention. I heard in my spirit this morning when I was getting ready, and I heard it yesterday, contention. There's a contentious spirit in the atmosphere of this world. There's a spirit of strife and division, news media and arguments and fighting, and it's all over us. It's all over our head, flying around, contention. We need to walk in peace, in joy, in love, in the word of God. Somebody say amen. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If you're married here this morning and you've been arguing with your spouse, go home and repent. Get together and say these simple words. I'm sorry, please forgive me. Five words, whether you think you're right or wrong. I'm sorry, please forgive me. Get the strife out, get the discord out, get the contention out, because the enemy knows that if we can get in agreement, hallelujah, and live in agreement, any two in agreement, what? It's touching anything, what? It's done by the Father. The word of God says here, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We need to hold strong, Pull them down, cast them down, cast them out. When your mind is saying one thing, we need to answer it back with another thing. Not just let it go round and round and round like a bird looking for a nest and landing and making a little nest in our brain. Come on, say amen. We have to be strong in that area of what we allow in. Colossians 3:2 says, you don't have to turn there, but listen. Set your mind on things above and keep them set. See, that's the thing. We set them. We say we're going to set them. We're in church and we set them. We're in prayer and we set them. We have our devotions and we set them. We get in agreement with a prayer partner and we pray and we say it's set. And then the enemy comes through demonic hordes that are unleashed on this earth to come to attack our mind 5 minutes after we set it. A person, a situation, a symptom, a financial, a marital, a child, a job, whatever it is. And then the bombardment begins up here in our mind and the birds start flying around once again. No, the word of God says set our mind and keep it set. I'm working on that with the help of the Holy Ghost. I'm not there yet, but I'm headed there. Are you headed there? Are you desiring to get there? Hallelujah. We need to set our minds on things above. Listen, we need to set our minds on victory, not defeat. The enemy comes and says, you're going to go under. It's never going to happen. It's never going to work. You're never going to get there. You're never going to see it. That's defeat thinking. We need to set our mind on victory. What does that mean? Rehearse it over and over and over and over and begin to thank God for it. Yesterday I had a weird day, really weird. And my mind, and I know why, I had to keep on resetting. It's like a reset button. You know that little red button on your plug, on your hair dryer or whatever? You go plug your hair dryer in and it just doesn't work. And you go, what's going on here? And then there's a little red button in the plug thingy there. And you got to push it and then the hair dryer starts to work. That's what we have to do in the spirit. Reset. No, that's defeat thinking. I'm over here on victory thinking. No, get out of here. Shut your mouth. I'm over here on word thinking. No, I don't receive that thought. I'm over here on word thinking. No, I'm not letting you in. I'm over here on word thinking. I'm over here where the manifestation comes out of what I think. Come on. Set our mind on victory. Set our mind on liberty. We're not in bondage. We're not going to lose our mind. We need to set our mind on liberty. Whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. When the enemy comes along and says, well, you fell last month and you're going to fall again next week. You can't stand up under this temptation. You're going to just keep giving into it. No. Reset. Set our minds and keep it set on liberty. No, I'm free. Hallelujah. Set our minds that we're overcomers. The enemy wants us to walk around feeling like a defeated dog. He's the dog. We're the overcomer. We have to set our mind and say it. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. The enemy doesn't like this. He doesn't want this preaching. He doesn't want us to have the mind of Christ. He doesn't want us to walk in victory. He doesn't want us to walk in liberty. He doesn't want us to walk in freedom. He's going to do everything he can to undermine it. So we might as well just rise up and enjoy the ride and say manifestation time. Yes. Hallelujah. Come on, say it. Manifestation time. Set our mind on joy. Not on defeat and sadness and oppression and depression. Yes, oppression and depression is strong. So many people, it's believed, the statistics, 75% of America are on medication to just make it through a day and help them have joy and peace. How sad. And what's sadder is 50% of the body of Christ are on medication to help them have a good day and not be sad and depressed. I'm not against medication. If you need medication, take it. But while you're taking it, say, I'm not going to be taking this forever. I'm setting my mind on joy. I'm setting my mind on health. I'm setting my mind on victory. I'm pushing the reset button. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord and have liberty and joy. Come on, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't like what you see right now, you can change it. Just close your eyes and change it. Look at the unseen. The Bible says the seen is temporary. Seen is scary. We can look at the unseen. We're peculiar people. I said it last time. We're other. We're different. We're not cookie cutter. We're not going to be pressed into the world's mode of thinking. There's pressure on you. There's pressure on us to think like the world. No. Or if we don't think like the world, to just quit and give up and say it's too much, it's too hard, it's too difficult. No, we set our mind on victory. Hallelujah. We have to see ourselves victorious. Hallelujah. Pastor's up at our camp today working on the steps that broke last year. Last year at this time, he couldn't walk. And they said, we don't know how you're going to walk. We don't know what's going to happen with that ankle. We don't know what's going to happen with that infection. It might go to your heart and kill you. These are the words the doctors were telling us. We don't know what's going to happen with your blood pressure. It's so high, we've given you needles and shots and pills. We're calling in a special blood pressure team. And I looked at Pastor in the bed, and he was vibrating like somebody stuck his hand in a socket. Shaking from head to toe, running a fever, people coming in and out. I got a victory mindset. I said, I'm not seeing this. I'm closing my eyes to this. I'm believing God. I'm believing victory. I'm rehearsing victory in the name of Jesus. And we got a picture and we put it on our refrigerator when he came home of him up at the camp, his happy place, with a hammer in his hand and his baseball hat on. When he pulls a tool box out, we all run and hide for cover. Hallelujah. Even Sasha the dog runs, right, Nikki? But that was what I got in my spirit, church. You need to get a mindset of victory. You need to see yourself victorious. You need to see yourself as God sees you. We need to say we're overcomers. Hallelujah. And there he is, a year later, up there. God knows what he's doing. I'm praying protection around him. In that place that we had that picture of. This is crazy talk to the world, but not to the believer. We need to see ourselves victorious. We need to set, listen, we need to set a mental image. Set a mental image and hold strong. Cast down our imagination. Cast down the thought that doesn't line up with the word. Cast out the suggestion of darkness. Throw away the mental image that the enemy puts in our mind and set an image in our mind of victory. Hallelujah. And hold strong until that comes. We have it now in the spirit, but the manifestation is on its way. Can you say amen? Amen? Somebody's getting set free in your mind right now. Hallelujah. Somebody's getting an adjustment. An adjustment. A revelation about how we need to think and who we are. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. It's time to let go of the excuses. It's time to excuse negative talking. It's time to get rid of negative talking and not make excuses for it. It's time to stop making excuses for negative thinking. I had a hard day. My mother was like that. My father was like that. My aunt is like that. You don't know what my life is like. You don't know what my spouse is like. You don't know what my children are like. It's time to stop making excuses and get to manifestation of what God wants and has for us that he paid for in full by the blood of his son. Come on. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise God. See ourselves. See ourselves. Push the reset button. Not going from defeat to defeat. Yeah, there's defeat. Yeah, it comes in waves. So does blessings. The Bible says we sow, we cast our bread upon the water. We sow love, we sow kindness. You know that thoughts are a seed? They're going to grow something. So you might as well grow something good. We cast our bread on the water. And the Bible says it shall return to us on every wave. There are days of waves of trial and test and darkness and bombardment. Hallelujah. But God is with us, and the blessing is going to roll in, and the manifestation on every wave. Hallelujah. We have to rehearse it. See yourself going from glory to glory. Not, oh God, it's getting worse and it's going to get worse. And I'm waiting for the other shoe to fall. What does that even mean? We're going from victory to victory. Hello? Victory to victory. Victory to victory. Look at your neighbor and tell them victory to victory. Glory to glory. Not defeat to defeat. Hallelujah. There's pressure on us to not think that way. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14. Are we getting something out of this today? There's pressure. There's a press to give up, quit, faint. We're not going to do it. Amen. 3:14. It says, their minds were blinded until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. The Amplified says, in fact, their minds grew hard and callous. They had become dull, lost the power of understanding for this present day. When the Old Testament, the Old Covenant is now being read, the same veil still lies on their hearts. People are veiled. They don't see. They can't see what we see. We see the truth. We see what's coming down the road, not being lifted to reveal that in Christ it is made void and done away with. That veil's been done away with. We have clarity. We have the mind of Jesus Christ. Turn over to 1 Timothy 1:6. We don't have a veiled mind. We don't allow that veil to come back. We don't allow the enemy to throw that over our heads. He's going to try. 1 Timothy 1:6. There's so much talking out there. There's so much chatter out there. Don't watch the news before you go to bed. Read a psalm. People wonder why they have nightmares. The news is a nightmare. The enemy tries to just come and drape something over our head before we go to sleep. We've been given the mind of Christ. 1 Timothy 1:6 says, for some having swerved have turned aside to vain jangling. In the King James, says vain jangling. That's only used one time in the Bible, and it means random talking, senseless, mischievous talking. Just listen to the talking that goes on, the babbling that goes on from people, from news media, from television, internet, whatever, Facebook and Twitter and email and whatever we see, this vain babbling. Look what it says there. Some having swerved. That talking, that constant chatter, that negative report from the doctor tries to talk. What the doctor said he's going to test us for next. And it could allow us to swerve and get off our mark and get away from believing for manifestation and expecting manifestation. Vain babbling, senseless talking. You can spend 5 minutes with somebody and know where they are in the spirit by what they say. We don't have to receive it. We could just walk away from it. Turn your Bible to Philippians 4:6-9. Philippians 4. This is where we started. This is where we're going to end up. Praise you, Lord. 4:6-9. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The Amplified says, don't fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance, say every circumstance, and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. So fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, worthy of reverence, honorable, seemly, just, pure, lovely, lovable, kind, winsome, gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of those things. Fix your minds on them. Practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. Listen to how it reads Philippians 4:7 in the Greek. And the peace of God, a peace so wonderful that it cannot be compared to any other type of peace, a peace that stands in a category by itself, rises far above and goes beyond anything the human mind could even think, reason, imagine, or produce by itself, will stand at the entrance of your heart and mind, working like a guard to control, monitor, and screen everything that tries to access your mind, heart, and emotions. To control, monitor, and screen everything that tries to access your mind, heart, and emotions. How do we get that? We get verse 7 by doing what it says in verse 8. Thinking on things that are pure, reverent, honorable, seemly, just, lovely, lovable, kind, winsome, gracious, excellent, praiseworthy. If we allow our mind to think on all those good things, there will be a monitor, a screen, a control for us to be able to live in the peace of God that passes understanding. You can sense it when it's leaving, can you not? That's time to set the reset button. And say, "Ooh, where's my peace going? I got to get myself back set on what the Word of God says. I got to get back on pure, holy, winsome, good things, praiseworthy things." It's reeling it back in. That's what I say about myself. Just reel yourself back in, Carolyn Tabano. Don't get out over there. Come back in to the peace of God. What a wonderful place. When peace is active in our life, it protects, guards, keeps, and defends us like a band of soldiers around a city. That's the literal meaning. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we had the mind of Jesus Christ. Listen to what peace can give and do. Peace gives us a foundation while the enemy's after it. All the time. All the time. A foundation so secure that we can step out in confident faith without being moved by what we see or hear or feel. Peace, the peace of God, with the peace of God operating in our life, we can walk through the rockiest and most difficult situations. How do we do it? We reel our brain back in. Get over on the mind of Christ. Get over on the Word, on things that are good. What's good? The Word of God is always good. You know, there may be not one good thing that you can find on certain days, but the Word of God is always good. Amen? We can walk through the rockiest and most difficult situations and not get bruised, cut, or seriously injured. When walking in God's peace, we often don't realize how difficult our situation is till we look back. Can you say amen to that? Supernatural peace pulls the plug on the devil's effectiveness. That's why the enemy hates it. Supernatural peace pulls the plug on the devil's effectiveness. If he can't disturb our peace, he can't disturb us. Amen? God's peace enables us to say, regardless of what I see, hear, or feel, I'm not moving. Can you say amen? Just stand at your feet this morning. Given a lot of information, given a lot of word. Hallelujah. When we have things come across our mind, church, we should go back to that scripture where it says, think on these things and ask ourselves, is this in that verse? And if it's not in that verse, then we can cast it down and not think about it in the name of Jesus. It's a simple way to live, practical and simple, to stay in the peace of God. Just close your eyes this morning. We're just going to pray this prayer together before we leave. Hallelujah. I'll say it and then we'll repeat it together. Father God, forgive me for looking at or imagining things I should not have. Things like failure, defeat, sin, wrong thinking. I see now it's not innocent. It's dangerous. Because what I look at, I allow to get in. Instead, Lord Jesus, with your help, I choose to behold you and to look upon you, the author and the finisher of my faith. I set my eyes and my mind on you. And as I do, I open up my heart. I open up my spirit. I ask you to fill me from head to toe. I will put your words, your ways in my mind and inscribe them upon my heart. Lord Jesus, imprint your image in me in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I denounce. We're going to say it again and we're going to say it strong. In Jesus' name, I denounce. I reject. I resist all pictures in my mind that do not line up with your word. I do not have to be that. Have that happen to me. And I say today, it will not go that way. I am being renewed. I am being transformed by the renewing of my mind through the power of God and through His Word. Now come on and thank God right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name, O God. Hallelujah. Bands breaking. Resistance going. In the name of Jesus, through the blood right now. Chains broken. Links broken. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we have been redeemed. We belong to you. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.